It is a privilege to speak to you this morning. Sometimes I pity you guys because you just have to listen to me talk to myself, but that's where I'm going again this morning. You just have to sit there and listen to it. But I wonder if anybody's going to join me this morning in listening. How many of you, over the past week or 2 weeks, would have considered you to have a stressful period over those two weeks? Did anybody else have stress in the last 2 weeks? Oh, good. I feel much better already. I was saying a lot of, "Why me, Lord?" That's the title of my message. But I wasn't saying it like, "Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one?" It was more like, "Why me, Lord? Why do I got to do all this stuff?" And it wasn't a healthy "why me, Lord." This morning I'm going to speak on a topic that I think is invading our churches and unknowingly has affected our serve in our communities. My subject this morning is on stress. I wasn't watching over this way. Did any of you teenagers raise your hand at all? Okay, so you're not a teenager anymore, Bethany, but you have stress? You have stress? Okay, just checking. Stress can have such a negative impact on a person that it actually can destroy relationships and even the ability to serve for Christ. Why me, Lord? That's the title of my message. I want you to turn to the book of Job, and let's look at some ultimate stress. Job chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Before I read that, when I was listening to the worship songs this morning, one line that stood out to me: "Who brings our chaos back into order?" Often order has a lot to do with stress. We don't usually experience stress when things are going well, when things are just smooth. But it's when things are chaotic that it brings stress. So Job chapter 2, I want to read this passage. Job chapter 2 comes on the heels of just an incredible devastation to the house of Job. He lost wealth, he lost his animals, he lost sons, he lost daughters. He pretty much lost everything. Verse 1 on chapter 2. "On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' Satan answered the Lord, 'From roaming throughout the whole earth, going back and forth on it.'" Yeah, I know that person. "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason.' 'Skin for sin,' Satan replied. 'A man will give all he has for his own life. But now, stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face.' The Lord said to Satan, 'Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with a painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, 'Are you still maintaining your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die?' He replied, 'You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not the trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said.'" So to start this message this morning, I'm going to need your help. I saw a lot of hands being raised. I would like to just to jot down some of the stressors in your life. What stresses you? Just call them out. I'll repeat them so everybody can hear it. Work. Traffic.
Other people.
Thanks for being very specific there. Other people.
College.
Deadlines.
Weather.
Need to perform. That stresses me too, Jaron. Opposition. I was hoping that would come up.
Conflict.
Training children, conflict. Back to this training children thing, I had some stress there this week too. He's not here today, so you don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about him. You said conflict. Yeah, that's a stressor. What else?
Change.
Health. Adjustment. David, you have any stress the past month or so? No, I don't think so. Disasters. Stress. Yeah. What'd you say?
Self.
Yeah, I agree with that part. I can stress myself pretty quick just by being myself. Politicians. Doesn't make any sense to me, but I'll write it down. There's an excellent one. Understanding parents. I like that one a lot. That is stressful right there. Thanks for sharing. I appreciate that. All right, so we see there's an incredible amount of stressors in our life. And I'd venture a guess that you didn't touch on all of them. I'd venture a guess that you didn't hit them all. There's still some that are just so painfully stressful that you probably didn't even share about. So yeah, what causes all this stress? There's so many different stressors. I'm just going to read what, just to reiterate what people said. Work, traffic, other people, college, deadlines, weather, need to perform, opposition, training children, conflict, disasters, change, health, adjustments, self, politicians, shopping, and understanding parents. That's a long list. I was thinking about what causes stress. For me, some of the things that cause stress are, I think, of our own doing. Things like, it could be sin. It could be other people's sin. It could be unavoidable circumstances. Now, I don't do anything to contribute to that. It could be physical disasters. It could be relationships, jobs, and this whole other list that we went through. It's a pretty good list because it gives us a picture of how stress can just really affect us in a negative way. You know, I don't feel like I'm performing at my best when I'm stressed. But as I was thinking about stress, stress is not always a bad thing. And I'll go over that a little bit. So what are the dangers and advantages of stress. Is there dangers and advantages? Well, here's one that I thought. In Job chapter 2, verse 9, where his wife is just being a really real encouragement to him, says, why are you maintaining your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? Adding to Job's stress. You know, the danger of stress, the danger of living such a busy life that you have no time for God, the danger of that is you can totally turn your back on God. And you can ask the question, why me, Lord, in a very unhealthy way? Why don't you care about me? Why don't you love me? Why don't you take care of this situation? Why don't you fix it? I'm sick of it. Or on the other hand, you can say, why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve your forgiveness and your faithfulness to me? So in Job 2:9, number one, the danger is you can turn your back on God. But in verse 10, he says, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not the trouble? In other words, he was turning to God for understanding and redemption. So there's you can view stress in two ways. You can turn your back on God, or you can draw closer to him. So in that way, I see that stress as an advantage. When it's really stressful, it's at those times where I sought after God more than when it's just at a level place. Think about it with kids, for example, and you're trying to, you're really stressed out with maybe being a mom or dad, or you don't have an answer to a situation. And as you are stressed out about it, did you ever step back from the situation and pause to consider that God called you to be a mom, and he's given you the incredible tools to do that? Or a dad, where you need to speak life into your kid again, and it may be really difficult, and you don't want the stress or the conflict or the hassle, but you step up to the plate because God has given you the tools. You see, stress has a way of bringing out the best in you too, if you turn to God to do it. Stress, another danger of stress, is it makes us vulnerable to temptation. And I would guess that each one of you have experienced this. When you're stressed, God doesn't mean a whole lot to you sometimes. God's just out there, and you meet him at church every once in a while. But the stress that you're going through, it's a real danger, because the temptations are real. When you're beaten down with stress, when you got this funny feeling coming up the back of your neck, and it's just tension all the time, what do you want to do? You just want to escape. You don't even want to deal with anything anymore, because it's just so hard. You're vulnerable to temptation. I want to read Mark 14:38. It says this. I'm sorry, in verse 37. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said, Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for just an hour? Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I find that when I'm weak with stress, it's easy to fall into temptation. It's easy to give in to not being a leader or not doing what God has called me to do. The other, on the flip side, the advantage of this kind of stress, yes, it does make us vulnerable to temptation, but it also can bring us to the end of ourselves and makes us ready to trust in a trustworthy God. Or take the example of Jonah. We saw his danger when he was, you think it was a stressful decision for him to go to Nineveh? Yeah, that was pretty stressful. He wasn't going to a Jewish country. He was going into Iraq. It was stressful. He didn't want to do it. That was a stressful decision. And I don't know how many of you have had to make stressful decisions. It's hard. It's really hard. And I found myself in the middle of some of those hard decisions, and the thing I want to do most is exactly what Jonah did. Go curl up in the bottom of a boat somewhere. Have you ever been like that? Oh, I'm just going to take a nap, and when I wake up, things will be much better. That's what Jonah did. He just went in the bottom of the boat, and he pouted, and he realized that that wasn't going to get it done. Well, God worked a miraculous thing, and he was thrown overboard, and we know the story. The big whale came and swallowed him up, and 3 days later, just nicely put him up on the beach. He went to Nineveh because he saw the power of God. And when he went and preached to Nineveh, something happened that he wasn't expecting. The people actually listened and heard and were converted. And he was like, what do I do with this? He couldn't even see the good in what came out of it. He was sort of upset that God spared them because of their wickedness. He fully expected when he went to Nineveh that God would punish them because their sin was brought to light. So what did he do again? He went out and sat in the desert to watch Nineveh be destroyed. And it was so hot out there, he was miserable and pouting. And God caused this vine to come over him again to give him shade. So the danger of stress is to make us pout and to not see the good that God is doing. Man, this is true for me. I don't know if it's true for you. But I can pout and not want to go a step further until I see it fixed. Never mind that I've seen God work. No, I didn't see a whale come and swallow me up and miraculously save me and then put me out on the beach again. I didn't see that, but I've seen some other pretty big things that God has done. But stress clouds my mind, and I can't even see the good that God has done previous to what I've done or what he has done. So that's the danger that Jonah faced. But it also makes us ask important questions about our life that we wouldn't ask if our schedule is normal. So, church, I just want you to think about this for a little bit. So you've identified some stressors in your life. Jaden, so what are you going to do about it? It's a favorite line from our Bible class. So you identified stressors, so what are you going to do about it? If your job is stressful, can you make it better? Can you put processes in place that make it better? Can you hire people to make it run smoother, that you can actually have a life? Or your children, are you going to be intentional about what you do with your children? Or are you just going to yell at them because that's the easy way out? Or are you going to be intentional and take a new path? So stress can be really good if you can step back and evaluate, why do I have so much stress? Do I need it? I don't think, Irvin said something that was pretty intriguing when I walked into church this morning. and told him that my message was going to be on stress. He said, I don't think Christians should be stressed, but the last 2 years I've been really stressed. So I like your first statement, but I'm also very aware of the reality where I'm at with stress. So what am I going to do about it? We'll get to how we deal with stress a little later on. Or how about Elijah? Here's a real danger of stress. Stress paralyzes you that you can't even function. Have you ever been at that spot? You know, you're just so stressed that you don't want to go any further. It just doesn't make sense to do anything else. So it paralyzes you. You're depressed. 1 Kings 19:1 to 13 tells a story about Elijah. And he's being pursued by Jezebel. And he gets away in the wilderness, and he's done. He is tired of the stress of running and hiding. And he's saying, Lord, I'm just doing what you want me to do. And here I am just running for my life all the time. I'm sick of it. And he just fell into a depressing, almost paralyzation. That's what stress does. That's a real danger of stress. It can depress and it can paralyze you. And the other thing it does, it creates a lack of desire. Lack of desire to work, a lack of desire to function as a leader, a lack of desire to be a good parent, a lack of desire to follow traffic laws, to do well in college, to be patient with politicians, to realize that God gives us health. The list goes on and on. But the advantage of stress at that level is, again, if we step back, we begin to innovate and we put new creativity into what we're doing. And all of a sudden, we're creating instead of stressing again. So how do we deal with stress? My third point. How do we deal with stress? I think one of the big things is prayer. I'm going to turn to Mark 14:32. It's actually the same passage I just read, where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying. Here's a man that had stress. He was in the garden and he knew what was about to happen. He knew that he was going to be hanging on a cross in a very short amount of time. He knew that he was carrying the weight of the world, weight of the sin of the world on his shoulders. And as he prayed in that garden, he had so much stress. He just didn't have pain coming up the back of his neck and give him a stress headache. The man was sweating drops of blood. That's stress. But he prayed to the Father. And he got to a point in his prayer where it says, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. And so until we come to that point in the middle of our stress, all of a sudden stress doesn't have that power over us anymore. Because when we realize that God has called you to be a parent, then know this, that God is giving you the tools to be the parent that God has called you to be. When you're on your job and there's stress on your job, know that God has given you the tools that is needed and the resources or the workforce to make your job so that you can function as a follower of Christ. Tim, if you want to put that acrostic up on the overhead, I would appreciate it this time. The other thing is, we talked about prayer, and we talked about going to the Father. A verse that means a lot to me is, come, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I understand that a simple acrostic isn't going to solve stress, but I think there's some real tools in here to help us in this battle of stress. Number one is surrender. And the verse I attached to this is in Psalm 23, actually the whole passage. Think about this as it relates to stress. If you're feeling stressed as a parent or in your job or as a leader, whatever it is, think about how that stress can disappear when this verse when this passage becomes real to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Green pastures sound pretty good. Surrendering to the Father as a lamb, and he is our shepherd. That's the picture that takes away stress. I don't have to worry about those outside wolves coming in to get me. I don't have stress as a sheep. That's the shepherd's job. The next thing is trust. I want to read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust. So when you're thinking about college and all the stress of that, trust me, I know. I've seen it. And you see the stress that that's the whole process is like, okay, so I got to study to get a good grade. But then what about the next step? What am I going to do with that degree? And there's stress there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. The next thing is rejoice. James 1:2 says, count it all joy when you fall into your many trials. We've identified some trials, some stressors. That's a hard passage for me to figure out. Count it all joy when you fall into the many trials that come up. I think what it's simply trying to say is, God wants you to step back from your trial, and he wants you to just trust him and know that he is in control so that you can have joy. E is endurance. I read Job 2, 1 to 9 earlier, and that is a true picture of endurance. I can give you another true picture of endurance. Gary, I'm happy you're here this morning. I think you used a little bit of endurance over the last day or two, yes? How many miles? 18? 22. Sorry, I don't want to cut you 4 miles short. Because those 4 miles were probably where the endurance factor really came in. Gary, tell me about those last 4 miles. Was it easy? Why? I mean, you think you have your pace. You got to figure it out by mile 18. What was your hardest mile? It all got pretty hard. Last 8 miles. Did you finish? That's endurance. When things are hard, when they're really hard, God is a strong tower. He is our refuge, and he is our strength. He is a very present help in time of trouble. God just wants us to endure, because what he has on the other side is beyond what we can ask or think. S, self-discipline. In Matthew 4, 1 to 11, this is where Jesus is tempted in the wilderness. 40 days, Jesus is without food. And the devil comes and says, you know, Jesus, you are so powerful. You're so good. You can make bread out of a stone on the ground. Let me tell you, a loaf of bread sounds really good. Sounds really appealing after not eating for a long time. And Jesus quotes scripture right back at him and says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's just an incredible example of how we can fight stress with God's word. It is a sword. It is a weapon to be used. Self-discipline. It's hard. It's hard. It's so much easier to go into the bottom of the boat and curl up in a little ball and have a pity party for myself. That's the easy way to do it for me. But that's not self-discipline. Then the last thing is service. The Apostle Paul is a great example of how you take stress and you turn it around and you serve as a stress buster. I want to read about Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I do not think Paul was telling the people that were listening to him at this time, and I don't think he was being proud. I just think he was trying to show them that if you're struggling, I went through some stress too. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 to 31. Says this, whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison much more frequently, been flogged more severely, and have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in dangers from my fellow Jews, in dangers from the Gentiles, in dangers in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and had often gone without sleep. Sounds stressful. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. Leadership is what he's talking about there. Who is weak? I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? I do not inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of things that show my weakness. The God and Father, the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I'm not lying. Now, you can't tell me Paul didn't have stress. I wouldn't do well in a shipwreck. I would have trouble with 39 lashes. Did that stop him? No, he continued to serve. Because he was able to step back. And in spite of all he was facing, he was still able to give God glory for that. So as I close this message, As we discussed at the beginning, there's many stressors in my life and in your life. And you've identified the stressors in your life, and how you're reacting to each stressor makes a huge difference. We don't often think of stress as a positive. But when you can identify stress and step back and make positive changes, stress can actually be a positive thing. I encourage you, if you're stressed out, that you pray and follow the acrostic we just covered. Are we surrendered? We learn that sin can be a stressor. Do you have a vibrant relationship with Christ? Do we trust that he is the one to go to? Do we rejoice or look to see what growth it can produce? Can we endure even in the most difficult circumstances? Do we have the self-discipline to make a change? And are we engaged in a lifetime of service to the King? The next time you're feeling really stressed out, Galen, I want you to take a step back and I want you to look at the stress and how you can serve him by following what I just said. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would just be in each person's life in this area of stress. Lord, I pray that we would turn stress into a positive thing. That when there's a need for a change, we would make that change. When there's a need for a deeper relationship with you, we would make that relationship grow much deeper. When there's a stress in our life, maybe it's as a parent, that we would realize that you have empowered the resources that we need because you're able to give us way beyond what we're even able to ask or think when we call on your name. Thank you, Lord, for your love and for being there for each one of us. And I just pray, Lord, that we could just get rid of this burden of stress and that it would cause us to serve you in a deeper way. Pray this in your name. Amen.